rosy light. Descunul bidur rubau al rimet.
So, in terms of the Iraq war and oil motives, I guess I'm what you call like a historicist in the sense of like, I think I really have to, I'm an archival rat. I like looking at primary source documents and I like seeing the way that what occurs in the material remains of the past, you know, the material traces that are left behind oftentimes confound our expectations. As Hegel said, history's cunning, right? It doesn't unfold the way that you think it does, or, you know, there's always the appearance of the way things look. And then there is what actually happened. And I like exploring the space between what, you know, what something appears to be and what it actually is. And so, so I'm very nervous about, you know, speaking out of turn about, you know, without having seen the documents. The whole purpose of why my book is, in my view, credible is that it's based on primary source evidence. It's not just my opinion felt at the audience. Like, I dug in the archives. I found, you know, evidence that can't be explained in the existing frameworks. So I don't really want to say that what I'm going to say about the Iraq War in 2003 has the evidentiary basis of anything I said about 1963 or 1968 or 1972, right? So just to bracket that there. But what I do know from a more general sense is that the oil companies, like even Dick Cheney, my understanding is he spent the 1990s trying to lift the sanctions because they wanted to get into Iraq. Halliburton and his companies wanted to get into Iraq. And so they needed to get in there. They found a way in, right? I mean, they couldn't just lift the sanctions and do international commerce. They found a way. So they dismantled the government. And guess what? You know, the sanctions are gone. Iraq is producing oil. You know, so does that mean that the oil companies, I mean, when I started my research on the book now, you know, skip back, I was under the assumption, like the good Marxist assumption, that the state is the executive committee of the bourgeoisie, the leading elements of it, the hegemonic faction of it, especially the 50s, 60s, were the major multinational oil companies, right? So I was under the impression that the United States serves the interest of the oil companies, right? That was my operating assumption. And then in the archives, I found a whole series of letters from Aramco and from Standard Oil and from the oil companies to the State Department in like 1968, 1969, furious at the State Department for not putting pressure on Israel to withdraw to the 1967 lines. And the State Department being very upset with the pro-Israeli direction of American foreign policy. So I had to confront a kind of tension within the imperial logic of the state. You know, how do we reconcile the United States' interest in propping up its major corporations' interest in Saudi Arabia with the Israel lobby and all the domestic political pressures to support Israel? And so how do you kind of reconcile, you know, those two things? I think, to skip forward into the more 2003 direction, the way I put it in that review is there's this, you know, is America an oligarchy study from Princeton about 2014. And it does a lot, you know, social scientific analysis showing that public opinion is totally irrelevant to public policy. It doesn't matter what people think about gun control or gay rights or drugs or whatever. Like, all that matters is organized power of money. All that matters is lobbying groups, K Street. Like, they control the media, they control the Congress, right? And so all that matters for media, for Congress, for, to a large extent, public opinion, is organized special interest groups. Most importantly, in my view, would be, you know, the Israel lobby and the defense and the military industrial complex. But then you have to think about whether the military industrial complex, is that a structure of the deep state, or is that a lobbying organization?
Yeah.
And what's the relationship between the deep state and the lobbying groups, the actual formal, you know, like K Street people that buy the media and buy the Congress and influence primaries and all that. How do you understand the relationship between lobbying groups and the deep state, right? And Joseph Mossad, a bunch of years ago, he wrote something about, like, you know, overstating the Israel lobby, that, you know, thinking that the United States was manipulated by some K Street lobbying group into, you know, invading Iraq overlooks the deep state, deep, you know, structural interest in regime change and I guess primacy is what they're calling it now, you know, that the imperial logic is what drives, and that the United States supports Israel because Israel is seen to support its hegemonic aspirations, not that Israel has hijacked American foreign policy and directed it to its own ends, right? So you kind of have that, you know, that saw. And the way I tried to reconcile it in that review was by saying that really, in my understanding, the Congress and the media, and to the extent that Congress and media can shape public opinion, that's all shaped, that's captured in the libertarian language of the organized special interest groups, right? But the broader objectives of foreign policy, that those are determined by the deep state, right? By the permanent structures of government that are below, you know, the level of elected government or administration changes. And so that's why you have so much continuity across parties, across administrations, that there are these deep structural interests that no matter who comes in,
yeah,
in whatever interest they might have, they ultimately get a talking, a briefing, and say, okay, well, congratulations, you're now in the position of a, you know, formerly Democratic office or an appointed office. Here's how the world works. Here's your marching orders. And so in that sense, the elected government is more like, you know, the clerk that's making your sandwich at Subway or something. It's not, they're not actually owning, they're the shopkeeper, if you will. They're the ones that sell the policy to the public. But the ultimate drivers, as I understand it, are, I think when you dig down, I think it's the military industrial complex, right? It wants anything that's going to shovel more money towards Boeing and Lockheed and Raytheon and all of these companies and all their spinoffs, that is what calls the shots, and that the military industrial complex has basically controlled the American state, and everything else is just, theater games or parlor games. And that, from their standpoint, defense spending just goes up and 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 never only goes in one direction. Right. And so I think that what's driving this is just a generalized interest in more war, more conflict, more violence. The more war is, mana from heaven, right? The more you spend on war, the better it is for those people that, provide the weapons. And so I really think it's the,